ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम तस्मिन् अपह मातरिश्वा दधाति द लास्ट द फाइनल क्वार्टर ऑफ द मंत्र. So here, as I already told you, Matarishwa is a name of the Vayuhu, air element. Why air element is called Matarishwa? Because it means the one who moves about in this space is called Matarishwa. Matarishwayati iti Matarishwa. Antarikshe Shvayati, one who moves about within this space is called Matarishwa. Air element is called Matarishwa. But here the air element, air, stands for Pranaha. Pranaha means what? Which Pranaha? The individual Prana. And individual Prana stands for Samashti Prana, the total Prana. So Vayuhu stands for Samashti Prana Shaktihi. Prana Shaktihi, Prana Shakti means what now? The vital power, the totality of the vital power. You know, the totality of the vital power implies all the powers, all the totality of all the powers. All the powers means what? All the powers. This prana shakti alone is what now make the organs of action function, isn't it? Therefore, the karma indriyani function, jnana indriyani function, all the functions are happening because of the prana shakti. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha, that's what we can say, the Matarishwa here implies Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha means what now? Stands for total subtle manifestation. Samashti sukshma prapanchaha. Which means the totality of pranas, totality of minds, totality of intellects, totality of sense powers, totality of powers of organs of actions. Isn't it? The totality of subtle bodies, you can understand now. Subtle manifestation. The totally, when you view sukshma shariram, when you say, you know what sukshma shariram means, the totality of all the powers, we say what? Hiranyagarbha. The very word Hiranyam garbe yasya. Okay, why? Because the Hiranyagarbha is also stand for total mind. Where mind alone is capable of grasping, manifesting consciousness. Isn't it? Therefore, that's why it's always effulgent. Mind is always conscious and sentient. Because it's always manifesting consciousness. It has the capacity to conscious, manifest consciousness. Even though mind is dependent on consciousness for its existence, mind is capable of, you know, manifesting, having the manifestation of consciousness. Is it clear? That's why consciousness is dependent on Atma, the consciousness is dependent on mind, the Upadhi, for its manifestation. Mind is dependent on consciousness for its existence itself. Whereas consciousness is dependent on mind for its manifestation. Therefore, if you say, what is Hiranyagarbha? The totality of minds, the totality of all the powers. We can say, all these functions, you know, they're all from three faculties, from the three different faculties. The faculty of knowing, called Jnana Shakti, Jnana Shaktihi. Faculty of desiring, isn't it? samashti kriya shakti, iccha shakti, then faculty of activity samashti kriya shakti. So jnana shakti, iccha shakti, kriya shakti. All the powers, you know, so all these powers are from what? From these three faculties, isn't it? So this is samashti shakti, you can say Hiranyagarbha. That is why Hiranyagarbha means what? Like, without the warp and woof, no cloth can exist. Isn't it? Without the cloth, if we take any cloth, a piece of cloth, the two types of threads, isn't it, going in between, warp and woof. If we remove the warp and woof, the cloth will disappear. Is it clear now? In weaving, we have the, no? Therefore, it is the warp and woof, and alone is in the form of, the fabric is interwoven in warp and woof. Similarly, the whole jagat, all these two gross forms, gross bodies, subtle aspects, all the actions, all the experiences, all of them are interwoven in the warp and woof of Hiranyagarbha. Which means what? Hiranyagarbha is the very support. Without Hiranyagarbha, there is nothing. Is it clear? Because all the powers, samashti prana shakti is Hiranyagarbha, samashti, you know, the total power of knowing is Hiranyagarbha, the powers manifest. All these powers are where? All these functions, all these are Hiranyagarbha only. But this Hiranyagarbha alone, dadhati, matarishwa dadhati means, dadhati, as I said earlier, literally means places, but here you can say allocates, allots, prescribes, delegates. This Hiranyagarbha is as though allotting, the prescribing, delegating different duties. Because every natural phenomenon here is a devata. Like sun is a devata, moon is a devata, stars are devatas, vayu, air is a devata. Now each phenomenon functions. Each phenomenon has its own form, its own name, its own function, isn't it? So every small thing in this universe is what now? A phenomenon, natural phenomenon, which has its own name, form and function. That's why every phenomenon, everything which is part of the jagat is said to be what now? That's why the whole jagat is, in fact, commented upon by Shankara as nama rupa karmatmakam jagat. Name, form and function. These three constitute the jagat. What is this universe? Name, form, functions. Function implies what? Purpose also, isn't it? These three only constitute the universe. So every phenomenon has the name, form and its own function. Now how, every devata, each phenomenon having its own function, involving its own function, now everything functions being within the realm of an order. As why all, no devata needs to be instructed, come on, you do like this. It functions. All the devatas put together is what? Ishvara, the Lord. So now suppose wind functions, the air functions, air blows, sun shines, you know, stars twinkle, and the trees live, birds live, all of them are living, all of them are functioning, means all these functions, like how your kidney functions, your lungs function, your heart functions, all every organ functions means, who instructs? Isn't it? There's no instructor sitting separately, isn't it? The only instructor of all these functions of all the devatas is Hiranyagarbha. Okay, that is why onlooking supervisor is Hiranyagarbha. He doesn't need to, okay, who is the one who delegates all the devata, all these functions. We give the name Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is the name given to all these functions of all the devatas put together is Hiranyagarbha. Now mind functions. How does the mind function? This is how the mind should function. Who decides? Not only that, later on the bodies have to be, suppose the death happens, where the birth should happen, where the death should happen, when the death should happen, what should be nimittam for the death to happen, cancer or something else or some other disease or heart attack, what problem, all is called ordaining, isn't it? What should be the nimittam for this person? Nothing else. Person fell asleep, he did not get up. So when should the prana leave the body? When should the mind leave the body for good? When assume a new body also? And which body should assume? What should be the parentage? Who should be the parents? Are in keeping with this all papams? Only frog body is enough? Now who decides? Even human hair also, the good features also Shrihi. That's why having good looking, even the good physical personality is also, even though it's mithya, still is Bhagavan's blessing. There's also Shrihi. Shrihi means also good looks. Even the sharp features and immediately shows himself like this. Anyway, all these things we say was all Bhagavad Kripa. It's all, anything is Bhagavad Kripa only. Suppose everything is very nice, externally very handsome and beautiful, but buddhi is not there, is what? I'm not talking about tea, okay? That's all sometimes not, that's why all these things are ordained. Who is the ordainer, determiner of all the functions, all these things happen? Who is this? We say Hiranyagarbha. That is why he's called Vidhata. Vidhata means ordainer, determiner, karma phaladata. We say, is Vidhata, ordainer, determiner. Who determines everything? One more name is for Brahmaji means what? That is why he is said to be creator. We say all this Brahmaji, creator, ordainer, determiner, all these words, Vidhata. Hiranyagarbha is also called Sutratma. Sutratma, why? Sutratma means, one who is, I said already, the warp and woof in whom the entire creation is interwoven. Is Hiranyagarbha. That is Sutratma, also is another word for Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, you can say, There's a thread, isn't it? Thread here. In the thread, different beads are held. Thread alone is holding on different beads. Sutre maniganaha iva. All are held together. Like the Sutratma is Hiranyagarbha. But here, who is the one who gives Hiranyagarbha the status? The creator status, ordainer status, determiner status. Who lends? Atma. Okay, Atma is not Hiranyagarbha, but there is no Hiranyagarbha without the Atma. In fact, you have to be very careful, even the Ishvara is negated as Mithya. Very painful thing to know. Even Ishvara is negated as Mithya. Truth is what? It is Atma which is the truth. It is Atma which is distinct from Hiranyagarbha also. Is it clear now? very subtle thing here. That's why I took some more time. Matarishwa dadhati. Matarishwa kim dadhati. What does Hiranyagarbha allocate? What does Hiranyagarbha delegate, prescribe? No? Karma. The karma is implied by the term tapaha. Sorry, apaha. Not tapaha, apaha. I already told you, the word ap means water. It is a pakaranta stilinga shabdaha. And nitya bahuvachana shabdaha is what? Apaha or apaha, the waters. But how does the word water here imply the karma, actions, isn't it? Because I told you already, in rituals, there is no ritual, no action which we do without, no, many liquids are always involved in our pujas, even any rituals. The water is very much involved. Therefore, water stands for karma. Okay, one more thing you can say, there is a connection also presented here. The water is the cause of, you know, for Agni is the organ of speech is the product of Agni Devata. Like water is the cause of the prana, you know. Apaha, waters is the prana shakti emerge from where, if you ask, from the water alone. Therefore, the water contributes for prana shakti, and the prana shakti contribute for the karmendriya, make the karmendriyas work, organs of actions work. Therefore, that come like this: water is the devata for prana, and prana is what? Prana alone contribute, make the organs of actions work, function. Therefore, the water is the what? Water is the actual root cause behind the activities. What he says here, can you see all these things? Mm-hmm. You have to think of the devatas. If you think of Ratthabodha class, you have to see who is the devata for which indriyam. Isn't it? That's why the word apaha here implies actions, activities, all the different functions and different activities of different devatas, you know, all ordained by, determined by this Hiranyagarbha. For Matarishwa dadati, apaha dadati. But what is the meaning is, but where does Matarishwa stand? Matarishwa ordains duties and functions of different devatas, which means as instructed by, not physical instruction, okay. We just had to understand all of them are Hiranyagarbha only. But where does the Hiranyagarbha remain? Is there a Hiranyagarbha outside of Atma? No. If Atma is not there, there won't be Hiranyagarbha, there won't be Devata, there won't be function, there won't be action, there won't be anything. There will be nothing. Therefore, he says, Tasmin Atmani. Okay, Tasmin is a very important word there. You have to underline. Tasmin implies Tasmin Atmani. Stitva. Okay? Tasmin Atmani Stitva Hiranyagarbha Dadati. Which means, it is the Atma only in whose presence. In whose presence. In whose existence. No, there is Hiranyagarbha. Okay? Allotting all these, determining different functions of the different devatas and different powers and different organs and everything. Is it clear? This is the most beautiful meaning you have to understand. Tasmin means Tasmin Atmani Stite. Only in the presence of this Atma, Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is taught very highly first. Ishvara, isn't it? The ordainer, determiner, you know, the karvapaladhata, we say, sarvaniyanta, sarvavidhata, vidhata, sarvavidhata, sutratma, Hiranyagarbha, you know, allots everything, takes care of all the departments as one, Lord, isn't it? But I tell you, this Lord, this supervisor is capable of doing all these things only because of the blessings of Atma. Which means very carefully, subtly negating Ishvara as Mithya, the mantra presents Atma being the only Satyam. Got it? So, the Tishta should go with the previous half, okay? Tishtat dhavataha anyan tad atmatattvam atyeti. Okay, over. The left on tasmin atmani sati. This is Sati Saptami. Only when that Atma is present, only in the presence of the Atma, only because of the mere existence of Atma, this all these functions happen, all these activities happen, the whole Jagat functions. Whole Jagat is. Ishvara is. Understand? There is no Ishvara other than Atma. There is no Jiva other than Atma. That's it. Understanding. Anyway. Let's go to the next now. But before going here, if that is that, what is should be understood here? What should be understood here? The actual teaching comes is that is the Atma, and that Atma is what? The Vastu, the reality. That reality, Paramatma, Vastu, the reality, implied by all these terms, Brahma, Paramatma, etc., that Vastu is the, what now, the innermost essence of everything that is here, and that which means that is the Sarvantaryami. If Hiranyagarbha is, behind Hiranyagarbha means what? Behind Ishvara means the truth behind the Lord. There is no Lord other than the truth, isn't it? The truth of the Lord, the whole, is Atma. That Atma, that alone is Satyam, that reality is Satyam, that reality is in fact you. That reality is Aham Shabda Artha. Everything else is Mithya. That alone is Satyam. But if it is not known, that reality being Atma, the reality, the Atma being the content of I is not known, then what happens? Anatma is taken to be the Atma. Then the Anatma dharmas are superimposed upon the Atma. Means, then all the notions you entertain as what? Even though what is the Atma here is, we are going to see that later on. Atma is free from all the attributes. You take all the attributes to be your attributes. Then there is bandha, bondage. There is suffering. There is samsara. This also extra Shankara adds, he makes it clear. Okay, now let's go to the next mantra. Tadejati. Tannaijati. Taddure. Tadvantike. Tadantaha. Asya sarvasya. Tadu. Sarvasya asya. Bahyataha. Okay. Now, the same four aspects of the nature of the Atma, again repeated in these following mantras. When the teaching is repeated, we all may feel bored. No? So we need not feel bored. Suppose anything repeated is said to be a defect. If something already said is repeated, the repetition of what has been said once is called punarukti doshaha, the error of repetition. But only in Vedanta Shastram, the pudar of repetition is, the error of repetition, pudarukti doshaha is not taken. Why? Because Shankaracharya says, atma ati durvijneyaha. Atma durvijneyaha means the most abstract reality is the atma. And then it is the most difficult thing to be, if it is not an object, but still it has to be known. Whenever we want to know something, knowing means anything known, an object, something available as an object means we can try to know. Isn't it? Even subtle facts like E is equal to MC squared, even though it is a subtle fact, much subtler facts also we can understand. But any fact understood is what? Still is something, an object. It is object of knowledge, isn't it? But even the subtle facts, difficult to understand subtle facts pertaining to the objects. But here, Atma is a subtlest reality, abstract reality, which is not even an object. Because it is not an object, because it is neither the subject also, but it is available for, it has to be discovered as the very truth, swarupa of the very subject, isn't it? And then the mind is always of the nature of being extroverted. It takes a long time for the mind to, make it introverted. Actually Atma is not that, is neither, not inside also. It's neither outside also. If it is something outside also, it is easy to show. Something inside alone is there to show, it is easy to show. It is neither outside of you, it is neither inside of you, it is very you. Therefore, it is what? Difficult to arrive at. Because whenever we say I, and we want a strong identity, isn't it? Some gross identification we need. I means something formless is you, if you say. Isn't it? Whenever you say I, immediately what do you think? Yeah. Isn't it? I am comfortable. We want some gross identity, isn't it? And hold on to. Here, that you means the very content of you, very substance of substantive, I is what? The most abstract, formless, reality is something, isn't it? That's why even manasaha javiya, have we already seen that? We cannot, even the mind cannot grasp it as an object, isn't it? Which means very truth of the mind. Therefore, repetition is required. Atmanaha durvijnayatvat punarukti doshaha nasti. Is it clear? Mm-hmm. What is said? Anyway, now we'll go to the mantra. Because mantras are not tired of repeating, but we become tired of listening to the repetitions. Tadejati, tanna ejati. Again, earlier said ejate, isn't it? It must have been. But ejati, it is present. Atmanepadi dhatu, isn't it? So tad ejati, tad na ejati. Atma moves, atma does not move. Tad means atma tattvam, the truth obtaining as the innermost essence of everything, all pervasive innermost essence of every being here, the reality, the term atma, is what? Na yejati. That is yejati. Which means, if at all it does not move, already you have seen it earlier in the previous mantra. It does not move, it moves. If at all there is any movement, you know, any movement is relative movement. Movement is relative, not absolute. Motionlessness is the absolute nature of the Atma. But the movement is what? Movement is relative. But relative movement also belongs to what? We think Atma by itself does not move, but anything moves is Atma. Why? Because any movement on the part of anything also is not possible without the Atma. You can start from the mind, isn't it? Because mind and sense organs, the powers of organs of actions, the pranas. If these are not functional, physical activity will be impossible, isn't it? They had to be present, they had to be functional, and for them to be functional, they have to be conscious and sentient. Why? Even the subtle powers are all inert material products. They may be subtle, but still they are also inert material products only. Because they are also objects of knowledge. Anything which is an object of knowledge is what? Material product. And here Atma Tattvam is not anything which is perceived, anything which is experienced. Anything experienced means it has been negated as non-self, non-truth, anatma. Negated as non-truth means what? It is not something which is non-existent, but still it is mithya. It has no independent existence of its own. Isn't it? Therefore, all these subtle aspects, now because of the function of which alone, the gross, you know, externally perceived, the gross movements, gross actions, for all that we see here, that is possible because of the subtle, you know, the powers, functions of subtle function, subtle powers, subtle aspects. And all of them are also material products. And all these material products, subtle powers, you know, whose function alone, functions are responsible for the gross external activities and movements, all these things, you know, are possible only because of the just blessing of the Atma. So just that by whose mere presence the functions and activities are possible, you know, is said to be what now? The one who blesses. That is why we, without doing anything, by mere presence, the one who activates everything is said to be the one who blesses. So, blessing of the Atma. Understand the word blessing now? If something is possible, something happens, by its mere presence means it's called blessing. You see, we understand the meaning of the word blessing also. How to understand what is the, please bless me. Please bless means what? You don't need to do anything. Being there, you know, help me happen, something what I wish to happen. It's called blessing. Because of the Atmanaha, that's why it's called Anugrahakatvam. Or Anugrahakatvam means blessing. Okay, blessing everything by its mere presence. So, blessing everything by its mere presence means, how do you see the blessing? And all the functions are happening, all the activities are happening, everything is happening, but there are so many new births, new bonds are happening, some deaths are happening, aging is happening, everything is happening, enjoyment is happening, everything is happening, isn't it? Who has to decide? But the government is okay, government is not okay, people are okay, people are not okay. What has to happen has been always continuously happening. Nothing stops. Isn't it? That is called what now? Anugrahakatam. The one who sannidhi matrena sarvam karayati, sarvam, you know, chalayati, the one who activates without any action by his whose mere presence. This also we have to understand. It's also the adhishtanatvam remaining, this is called remaining as the adhishtanam, remaining as the very antaryami, the one who blesses everything here, is the Lord. Therefore he says, na yejati tat yejati. Ejati na yejati. Atma, so sopadhika drishtya, from the stand, if we see the Atma with upadhi, then all the movements on the part of the upadhi, all the activities, all the functions, all the, you know, all that is happening in the part of upadhi is because of the blessing of Atma. Therefore we say what? That which moves is Atma. With the upadhi, all the movements are what? Nothing but movements of the Atma. Atma alone is moving through the upadhis. Atma without the upadhis is of the nature of actionlessness and silence. Therefore, Atma is of the nature of motionlessness. Atma does not move. That's what we have, a nice Tamil song. In, I think TMS must have sung, no? Patum nani. There's that song. And asendal asayum ulaham illame. Isn't it? I do not move, but if, you know, but the whole jagat moves because of my mere existence, mere presence. Anyway, I'll make you listen to the Tamil song later on. So, tad yejati, tad na yejati. Tad dure tadvanti ke. Dure anti ke. Next is, again, so all the two things, with upadhi, without upadhi. You are seeing Atma, two forms of, the twofold forms of Atma. Twofold forms of only Atma, Atma with upadhi, Atma without upadhi. Without physically removing the upadhi, you understand the swarupam, Atma swarupam, the original nature of the Atma, also see Atma with upadhi. With upadhi, Atma alone moves. All that is happening is Atma. Without upadhi, Atma does not, is of the nature of actionlessness, changelessness. Then, tad dure tad vantike. Tad, no, tad tu antike. Antike, Atma is inside. Atma is very, not inside, Atma is very near. Antika means samipe. Antike, Atma is very, very, very near, and Atma is dure, very far. Again, the question comes here, how can Atma be very far, and how can it be very near also? How can one thing, you know, can be far and near? How can you say that? Far and near. Yes, the far and, because one object cannot be far and near. It must either be far or it must be near. How do you say this far and near? A far and near, one object can be said to be, you know, far and near. There is no contradiction. It is from two different standpoints. Now, there is a wall in this room. No, that wall. That wall is far for all of us. That wall is nearer to Gita, isn't it? For her, from her place, it is near. From our place, it is far. So the near and far is only No, this place is, place happens to be what it is, object happens to be what it is. It is neither far, the object is neither far nor near. It only from the standpoint, two different standpoints. It is far or near. Similarly, Atma is also far, Atma is also near from two different standpoints for two different types of people. When is the Atma is at a non-reachable distance, farthest distance for the indiscriminate person. For the one who is indiscriminate, Atma is the farthest. Okay? Far means what? As if Atma always resides, as it were. Always it is far, 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 far for the one who is ignorant of the self. Isn't it? Whereas tad antike, for the one who knows, the one who knows, for him Atma is not even the nearer. Okay, you can't even nearest. Atma is the very self. Atma happens to be the very self of self. For the wise person, it is the nearest. What is nearer to you? What is there anything nearest to yourself? You are the nearest to yourself, isn't it? For the one who knows the self, Atma happens to be the very self. It is the nearest. In fact, then also Atma is non-reachable, non-attainable. Why non-reachable, non-attainable? Anything other than you, away from you, alone is attainable, reachable. Atma happens to be your own self. It need not be attained, cannot be attained. Therefore, it is non-reachable, non-attainable. And Atma happens to be yourself. As long as you search for the truth outside you, it will ever be at a non-reachable distance. Therefore, Atma is the farthest for the one who is ignorant. Atma is the nearest very self for the one who knows. For Ajnani, Atma is Dure. For Ajnani, Atma is Antike. Antike means what? Not inside here. Nearest self. Nearest. Nearest means what? Very self. Which means Atma is neither inside or outside. Atma is the very self. You know, Upanishad said Atma is neither outside of you nor inside of you. It is very you. The word natu, tad dure tad antike. Now he says one more thing. Tad antaha. Tad antaha. Antaha means what? That Atmaswarupam, that the truth, Atma Tattvam, not only, you know, asya sarvasya antaha. Asya sarvasya antaha. Sarvasya means jagataha. Asya sarvasya jagataha antaha. It is what? It is there in everything in this universe. It is there in everything in this universe. There in everything in this universe. Sarvasya jagataha asya sarvasya jagataha antaha. That is the literal meaning. Then, even though it is within everything, the next line is what? Tadu sarvasya asya bahyataha. Not only it is sarvasya asya jagataha antaha, not only it is in everything here, it's also sarvasya bahyata, it's also outside everything. Okay, outside everything. You have to remember here three sentences in this mantra. I finished teaching, okay. The meaning of the mantra is over. Now let me take the understanding. What we need to arrive at it here. The beautiful, isn't it? In three sentences, the whole teaching is complete. First he just said upadhi, so upadhika drishtya atma ejati, anirupadhika drishtya atma na ejati. He said that. Having said that, he says for the ignorant person, atma is never, atma is ever at a non-reachable distance. Because atma is, one who is searching for atma as an object outside, never reachable distance. The one who knows, for him also atma is non-reachable because need not be reached. Atma is the very self which is the nearest. Therefore, atma is the nearest self. Having said that, the last sentence, tad asya antaha, you have to speak properly here. Tad atma tattvam sarvasya asya antaha means it is there in everything that is here. Which means what? It is there in everything. Everything means this entire universe. Everything in this universe, in this entire universe, it is there in everything in this entire universe. Not only it is there in everything in this entire universe, it is also what? It is beyond everything also. When we remain, sarva asya bahyataha api, we may think, atma is in everything in this jagat, universe means. We may think atma is not outside this everything. No. That is why he says, sarvasya bahyataha. It is there outside everything also. It is inside everything, it is outside everything. For the one who knows the true atma, for himself is the nearest very self. So here, when we are ignorant of the self, now that becomes teaching here. When we are ignorant of the self, what is our understanding? Now, our understanding is for us, I indicates only the body. When we remain ignorant, when we are ignorant of the self, not just simply we are ignorant, we are ignorant of our ignorance of the self also. And then our identity is only with the physical body. We don't even know that we are identifying ourselves with the body. For us, body is the I. The meaning of I is what? Just the body. Aham dehaha, aham shariram. And later on, when we are exposed to, you may think I'm saying something which is already known to you, but how the Upanishad presents the teaching, I want you to understand. Later on, we're exposed to this teaching, and slowly when we understand, and then when you are first of all shown as the knower, come on, you are the knower. From the standpoint of the, with reference to this universe, you are the knower. Therefore, why do you say you are the knower? Because the whole universe is known to you. The whole universe is experienced by you. Universe means what? Again, jagat means what? Nama, rupam, karma. You experience the world as forms and names. You experience the world in the form of actions and functions. Isn't it? Therefore, it's all lokaha. The entire universe, lokaha means what? Experienced, enjoyed, perceived. All the three words are important. Perceived, enjoyed, experienced constitute the universe, jagat. Therefore, the known, you the knower, when you are taught, are different from the known. Because known is an object of knowledge, you the knower are subject of knowledge. The subject of knowledge is different from the object of knowledge. We have no doubt at all. And that is when you understand this physical body also is what? object of knowledge, known to you, known by you. Therefore, you are different from the body. You are the knower, different from the body. This is the first time you arrive at, understand what? I was thinking, I was the body. Now my understanding has shifted, isn't it? Has changed. I am different from the body. I, the knower, am different from the known body, the object. I, the knower, am subject, different from the known body, the object. Which means, what happened now? It's called Deha Dehi Vivekaha. Deha Dehi Vivekaha. Sharira Shariri Vivekaha comes first. This is the first stage of understanding in our knowledge. In our pursuit of knowledge, first level of understanding. I am not just the body. I'm different from the body. So, aham shariri, aham dehi, isn't it? That's why in Bhagavad Gita we have a verse also, which also, you know, helps us understand this fact. What is that? No, sarva sarva karmani manasa sanyasyaste sukham vashi navadvare pure dehi naiva kurvanna karayan. This nine gated city is a physical body, and then in this physical body I'm sitting comfortably, isn't it? Navadvare pure dehi naiva kurvanna na karayan sukham vashi. You know, I remain here in this body. So first understanding, I am not the body, I am in the body. I am in the body means what now? Is Adhara. So here I am inside this room. I am inside this room when I say I am. The body is this room, becomes the Adhara. I become the Adheya. Is it supporter? Room is the support. Adhara Adheya. Therefore, I who exist in this room is different from the room. I do not have identity with the room where I am sitting. Isn't it? That similarly, I am in the body, different from the body, the first level. But even then, after what happens, the doubt is there, isn't it? I am confined to this body. I am confined to this body. Which means I am limited by, conditioned by the body. I am inside the body. I'm different from the body, I'm not the body, but still my understanding is what? I am conditioned by the body, I'm within the peripheries of the body. Still knowledge is? There's no knowledge still, okay? The next level of understanding what? I'm not only in this body, no? I am in all the bodies. I am in all the bodies. This is what the second is mentioned by what? The second line, first half. Aham na tad. Tad means Atma. Here I am using the word aham. I. Okay. I am the self. I am the Atma. Atma. I am the Atma. I understood. Aham. I am the Atma. Isn't it? Different from the known body. But I, the Atma, am not only in this body, but in all the bodies, in everything. Sarvasya tad, sarvasya asya sarvasya antaha. It is, Atma is there in everything here. Sarvasya means in everything. Sarveshu means in all. In everything that is here in this universe, no, sarvasya asya jagataha antaha asti. ஆத்மா ந கேவலம் அஸ்மின் ஷரீரே அஸ்தி, பிரத்யேகஸ்மின் ஷரீரே பிரத்யேகஸ்மின் வஸ்துனி சர்வஸ்ய அஸ்ய ஜகதஹா அந்தஹ அஸ்தி. அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் நவ்? நவ் இட் ஹஸ் காட் ஒன் நவ். ஐ ஆம் இன் எவ்ரிதிங். ஐ ஆம் நாட் ஓன்லி இன் திஸ் பாடி மைண்ட் சென்ஸ் காம்ப்ளெக்ஸ், ஐ ஆம் இன் எவ்ரிதிங். இஸ் தி செகண்ட் லெவல் ஆஃப் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்டிங். When you understand I am ID self and the knower Atma, the consciousness, obtaining in this body, obtaining now in everything else also. In this, here you arrive at what? Jeeva Ishvara Aikyam. I am in all. I am in this. I am in all. Still, I am in all the bodies. You understand what now? So, you arrived at the, you have negated the plurality of the Atmas. And this is where we say what now? We have to say all the logicians, Tarkikaha, Atmas are not many. Atma is one. The truth of all the beings is one. Is it clear now? What the truth of every being is what? Is Atma. You see the truth as the self of all the beings, Ishvara. Therefore, what happened now? Jiva, is it? The truth obtaining in an individual, the truth obtaining in all the individuals, all the beings, all the things. When you say all the things means what? I mean the animate, inanimate, living, non-living, everything is one and the same. Which means that truth alone remaining as the innermost essence, remaining as the very adhishtanam, remaining as the very substratum, isn't it? Sarvam niyamayati. Sarvantaryami Ishwaraha. When you say what? No, the one who really remains the very substratum of everything, lending existence, lending life, and lending the very, you know, everything here. Therefore, Sarvantaryami, Sarva Adhishtatru. I mean all. Even then teaching is what? Even then understanding is not complete. First, I am the body. From there, you have gone to I am different from I, the self, am Atma, different from the body. Isn't it? Obtaining in the body. Then from there, I, the self, am the Atma, not only in this body, but in all the bodies, in everything in this universe, I am in everything which, that is, you know, this entire universe. I am inside everything in this entire universe. Next step, moved from here to that. Which means, I am not, understand? I'm not conditioned by the peripheries of the body, boundaries of the body, mind, sense complex. That is why I said, ID self, ID knower am Atma, the self, distinct from what? This body, mind, sense complex, which means I'm not the part of it, product of it, property of it, distinct from it, but pervades this entire body, mind, and complex. At the same time, I am independent of the body, mind, and complex, but at the same time, I myself am not limited, isn't it, by the boundaries of this body, mind, and complex, which means I pervade everything else. Which means I am in all the bodies. And here the question comes, I am in all the bodies, I am in everything, which means still what? I am the one obtaining within everything is different from everything else. Isn't it? The third step is you have to drop that in. Isn't it? Instead of saying I am in everything, I am in all the beings, drop the in, you can say I am all. Not in everything, I am everything. Which means you resolve the, that is what Jiva Jagad Aikyam. Or you can say, Ishvara Jagad Aikyam. All the Jiva has been resolved in Ishvara. Now you have only Jiva Ishvara, isn't it? Then Ishvara Jagad Aikyam. Only then you have Advaita Drishtihi. Vision of non-duality comes only when you go to the third step. Resolving the matter in consciousness, the most difficult thing. Tangible, inert matter, you have to resolve in most intangible, abstract consciousness. You got it? Everything you resolve here. That's the last. That is what is said by the next half is what now? You say that, not next mantra. See, you have to be with, you please don't keep talking to me, so you keep listening, I have to tell you correctly. Tad asya sarvasya antaha. Asya sarvasya jagataha antaha asti. You can add asti and make a full sentence. Because tad is equal to atmatattvam. You can say tad atmatattvam. Okay, that reality, the consciousness, obtaining as the inner essence of every being, is what now? Sarvasya jagataha antaha asti. It is there in this entire universe also. Not only in this body, it is in this entire universe also. Then afterwards, tadu, u. That u means also. U stands for also. Api. Tad atmatattvam sarvasya asya bahyataha api asti. It is not only within this universe, it is outside the universe also. Outside the universe means what? There is nothing outside the universe. That implies, okay, it is not limited by anything, which means the entire universe is that only, which means the so-called, is it clear now? So the entire material universe also is nothing but that Atma. Why do we say that? Sarvasya bahyataha api asti, antaha asti. Bahitaha asti means it is not limited by anything. It is free from everything. The bahitaha implies there is no second reality. There is no second thing other than Atma. The non-duality. When the first resolution, when you resolve the first, when you shift the eyesense from the body, mind, sense complex, okay, then you think I the self am the consciousness. It's okay, fine. Obtaining within the body. The next step is what? I the self am the consciousness. Obtaining in what? All the bodies, in everything also. Which means you understand the consciousness being one, not many. Atma is one, not many. Bodies are many, minds are many, sense organs are many, manifesting media are many, but manifesting consciousness is manifestations are many, but the original consciousness is one. But still what happens? Still, I am in everything when you say that everything becomes what? I am in everything means still everything is what? No. The whole jagat still becomes different from me. I am different from the world. Only thing is, the contracted I has become the expanded I, isn't it? You arrive at the oneness of the consciousness, but still you have to resolve the nama rupas, the nama rupa karma, which is the form of jagat, isn't it? The name, form and function, obtaining in the form of the universe, the material universe, has to be resolved. You have to say what now? That is also me. That is completed when? Only in the last sentence. Bahyataha. Is it clear? Therefore, that's also me. Why? Because that's only the known. Known means there cannot be the known without the knowledge. There cannot be knowledge without the knower. And there is no knower other than I, the consciousness. Therefore, I, the consciousness, am not the knower. The knower status is what? Temporarily attributed to I from the standpoint of the known universe. Otherwise, just the conscious, I self am the pure consciousness, which is the Atma, which is the Brahma. Truth, consciousness, Atma alone is Brahman. Atma, which is Brahman, is the only reality. What about the Jagat then? Is it there or not? Mithya. You only say Mithya. Why is it Mithya? There is no such a thing called Jagat independently enjoying the countability apart from Atma. I am there, Jagat is there. I and Jagat are two different things. You cannot say, if you are not there, Jagat will not be there. If you are there, Jagat is. If you are not there, Jagat is not there. Your existence is existence of the Jagat. You see, therefore the universe is. If you do not see, still Jagat is, don't say that. Jagat is not there. Don't, it's another thing, problem is there. Universe is, therefore I see the universe. That may be relatively okay, but absolutely that's not okay. You are, therefore universe is. You see, therefore you are, therefore you see also. You don't really make effort to see, okay? Your being is enough to see. You are means you are seeing. Your seeing means the Jagat is. Therefore there's no Jagat other than you. Therefore Jagat also is what? You. Antike bahyataha. Okay? Sarvasya jagataha antaha. Sarvasya jagataha bahyataha. Bahyataha implies there is no jagat outside of the Atma. Like pot space. Isn't it? First you say space, pot space. Which means for the pot space is identified with the pot. Then say no, space is different from the pot. Space is distinct from the pot. But then still what is it now? The space appears only within the pot. They later on you have to say what? No, space is not only within this one pot. In fact, space is in all the pots, in all the houses, in all the enclosures. Later on you have to say all the enclosures, all the parts are within the space. Space is not within anything. Within the space, everything is. See, you have to shift your understanding. It may sound very simple. Shift the understanding from what? From the part identity to, you have to leave the space from part identity. Then you have to understand the fact of space being in all the enclosures, not only in one part. Later on you have to say, my God, part is not within the enclosures. I said, space is not within the enclosures and parts. All the enclosures, all the parts exist in space. It's called what? Cognitively shifting from, isn't it, a limited individual status to the limitless whole Bhagavan. Where are you now? Where are you now? Are you there still? If you say yes, how can you ask this question? Is there anything other than me? That should be asked the answer. If you say no, fantastic answer. That's also why, because only Paramatma is there. This is called what? Ahankara Tyagaha. It's called what? Ahankara Sharanagati. This is what is absolute Sharanagati. Ahankara Tyaga means offering of, no, the renunciation of I-sense. Renounce the I-sense means what? Resolve the I-sense. Ahankara Tyaga. Isn't it? See, it's called Arpanam. It's called what now? Atma Arpanam. Isn't it? You offer everything to what? Atma. Is in fact having the, here you have to remember the meaning of the verse Brahmarpanam. When you have understood the self, is it clear now? For you, the truth, there is no knower other than the consciousness, means you see, you arrive at distinguished the knower from the known body, imagines complex. Finally, you resolve the knower status also in consciousness. Then you say what now? That knower status is mithya. Consciousness alone is satyam. That consciousness is what? All pervasive, innermost essence of everything. Therefore, it is implied by the term Brahma, Atma. And the same all pervasive, innermost essence, consciousness implied by the term Atma is the only secondless, non-dual reality which is free from all time, space, object limitations. Therefore, it is implied by the term Brahma. There is no other vastu, reality. Everything else other than that vastu is subject to arrival and departure. Nothing is destroyed for good here. Anything arrives and departs is mithya. That which is the substratum where arrival and departure of mithya prapanchaha happens, nama rupa karmatmakam jagat, arrival and departure of the nama rupa karmatmakam jagat happens, that is the Brahma substratum. You got it? Hope not coming to the Sanskrit terms. Okay. So that is the tadu sarvasya asya bahyataha. So sarvam brahma eva. That is why that, even though I don't need to mention here, but example I can say, what can be the vision of such a person? Now, one who shifted his understanding from, you know, then every nama, rupa, karma, atmakam, jagat, sarvam, brahmaiva. Everything is the reality alone. That is why the offering, the act of offering is Brahma, reality. Which implies any action is Brahma. Now, the instrument of offering, the ladle, no? We say the instrument of offering is also what? Now, we say the instrument of offering is Brahma. If you're eating with the hand, is what? And the instrument of eating, isn't it? Any instrument of action is Brahma. The action is Brahma. The act of offering is Brahma. Instrument of offering is Brahma. Brahma arpanam. Brahma havihi. All the objects of actions are what? Brahma. The object of the object, the oblation, the havihi, the what is offered is also Brahma. Brahma havihi. And in the one who is given to, the one who is offered to, is also what? Brahma. Now, where is it put into? The agnihi Brahma. In act of offering, the fire ritual, the havis means oblation offered into the fire is Brahma, reality. In the fire into which the oblation is offered, the one to whom the oblation is offered is also Brahma. Once the oblation is offered, it has to reach the devata, some phenomenon, isn't it? Bhagavan in the form of some phenomenon. The devata is also Brahma. So Brahma agnihi, Brahma agnau, Brahmana hutam. The one who offers is Brahma. The offerer is Brahma. The act of offering is Brahma. The instrument of offering is Brahma. The fire into which the offering is done, that is Brahma. The one who is the devata to whom the offering has to reach, finally that is also Brahma. Brahma arpanam Brahma havihi, Brahma gnau Brahma nahutam. Finally, the result of this action, any fruit of action, as a result of act of offering, no, you have some, is a worship. In worship, worship is an act of, symbolic act of offering, isn't it? Now, as a result of an act of offering, whatever highest phalam you enjoy, highest of the karma phalam that you can enjoy is what? Going to highest of the lokas, highest of the worlds. So don't need to worry about whatever loka is described in whichever scripture of whichever culture. Our Vedanta says very clearly, whichever is the highest of the lokas you can attain, as the result of your greatest of, as the result of the greatest of punyam you have acquired, accumulated, accomplished through this action, act of worship, isn't it? Any action we can say. That if at all there is something, okay, even swargam, even heaven, you say, because heaven is the highest place, isn't it? Highest, something most exalted that can be accomplished as a result of your punyam is what? Your good deed is what? Heavenly pleasures. That heaven also is Brahma. Mm-hmm. That is the most interesting thing you have to note here. Heaven is Brahma. What is heaven? No, an abode of the most exalted pleasures, most superior pleasures, where you can enjoy. We do not know about it. All the cultures talk about the heaven, and we also talk about the heaven. And here Veda makes it very clear. To go to the highest of the lokas, to enjoy the highest of benefit, no? The pleasure, enjoy the highest of pleasures, exalted form of pleasures in heaven. For there's also what now? You must have abundance of punyam. To have the abundance of punyam required for enjoying the best of the pleasures, you must have done the best of you know, highly, highly, highly adorable, appreciable, laudable actions you must have done. So even if you have done, okay, that is also what? Brahma. Brahmaiva tena gantavyam. Brahma karma samadhina. Understand? Therefore, what does it mean here? Aham Brahma asmi. Bahyatadu sarvasya bahyataha means what? I am Brahma, Chaitanyam, not only in this body, in all the bodies, not in all the bodies, in everything that is here in this jagat, in this entire universe, I am. In fact, I am the whole. I itself am the whole. Means, do I need to go to heaven? That is the next question. That is what the idea, okay? It is this vision, the freedom is this vision. So, all your efforts to go to heaven is not freedom. That is a gold chain which will also bind you. Bind you means what? That's also what? Golden knife also will cut. Isn't it? So, is something, it's a posh place, but still, even though we all have some punyam, we could come to this in a Sydney, it's like a small heaven, a simple heaven. Petros allowed us to be here only till 4 o'clock, yes. Not after that. And if he will be very polite to have us for another half an hour, he'll try to give us one more tea maybe, and now he will tell, come on, I had to go now, Swamiji, please go, get out of this house. Because that's all punyam, we have only that much punyam, okay? Like that, you know. Like that, heaven also we had to come back, but without going anywhere, without doing anything, without achieving anything, don't need to do anything, just by being what you are fullness yourself. That is the vision revealed in this verse. So, tad antasya sarvasya tadu sarvasya asya bahyataha. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.